The UFM News Hour with Motlhaping Modise.
Me re go kaetse fa gore tle go buisana le ba Magalesotha se ke morago Magalesotha delegation led by the entity's deputy board chairperson Yvonne Matolong returned or has just returned from this year's edition of the Stockholm's Water Week that was organized in Sweden. The week-long conference, which was organized was organized by the Stockholm International Water Institute. And David Mahai is on the line with us. David, thank you so much for speaking to us and welcome back home.
Thank you so much for the great welcome and good evening to you, Motlhaping, as well as the listeners of News Note on UFM.
So what was the main purpose, David, of the conference? What did it seek to address?
The truth is water is a worldwide problem, or should I say access to potable water remains a worldwide problem. With the advent of climate change, economic downturn, a lot of water agencies, as we are referred to in the global community, are under some form of pressure financially and otherwise, to the extent that when an institution such as Magaliesotha in certain instances is unable to collect revenue as it should, that impacts adversely on our ability to invest in bulk infrastructure projects, to the extent that we can adequately respond to the growing demand of potable water supply. So we were indeed in Sweden, in Europe, to try and understand where our counterparts in the continent as well as in other regions of SADC and the world are as it relates to our ongoing struggle in ensuring that all of humanity has access to potable water, where there are catchment agencies or water boards, as is the case with Magaliesotha. So our purpose was really to compare notes, to see where we are, to see the kind of technologies that are implemented also in the world, as well as other strategic engagements that water boards like Magaliesotha in other parts of the world are doing to ensure that they respond to a host of challenges that the sector continues to experience.
Sure, but what are some of the resolutions or solutions that you believe can be employed here back at home to resolve water security challenges? Earlier on, you said that in actual fact, water security is a global phenomenon or a global challenge.
The reality is, Modise, in our week-long engagements with our counterparts, we found that particularly in South Africa, we are still somewhat behind as it relates to public and private partnerships. In the USA and in parts of Europe, you've got a number of catchment agencies or water boards that have gone into formal partnerships with private players who are actually investing some sizable amounts of money or funds into water-related projects. For instance, you have a situation where you've got a corporate player that says our business is reliant on the availability of raw water or potable water. As a result, we have taken a decision to join forces with a catchment agency or a water board in assisting them in bringing to life one of the capital projects, which really talks to infrastructure maintenance or development, to the extent that as end users, we are then able to see some value for money as it relates to what will assist our business, but over as well as the, you know, the community at large. So we have seen that a lot of public-private partnerships are making the necessary dent in the water space, particularly in some parts of the world. I mean, when you look at the area of SADC or even in the continent, we have learned that an organization based in the USA has been able to develop a solid business plan for the Lilongwe Water Board in Malawi. And as I speak to you now, that water board financial situation has been able to turn around to the extent that they are now starting to make profit. They have in excess of about 100,000 new customers in a space of about 2 years. So we've learned quite a lot as to what other people are doing in parts of the country, or other parts of the continent and the world. And we've definitely taken some important lessons that we would also want to come back home and implement.
But besides just making profit and benefiting the water board, how else does some of these solutions or resolutions assist in doing away with water challenges in this country?
Well, when you look at the South African context, I mean, this came quite, sharply in a number of discussions. One of the biggest challenges in the country is the rural to urban migration. Added to that, you've got pockets of lack of proper planning. to the extent that as you would have it in the Rustenburg area, a lot of people are still coming to the Platinum Belt in search for better economic opportunities. However, this is happening at the expense or to the detriment of the host municipality, which is Rustenburg. You've got a number of mushrooming informal settlements where people are putting up shacks and all other forms of informal structure without necessarily understanding if the infrastructure is able to cope. But over and above that, as and when you then try to undertake infrastructure development programs, in certain instances, you are not even able to lay down the pipe as you would, because people are now settling an area which should have been previously identified as a servitude for a bulk line. People would be setting up in an area where you are going to then put up a reservoir in other parts of your infrastructure to ensure that you then, with the necessary speed, respond to the growing water challenges. In other countries, you don't have a case where rural to urban migration has this kind of an effect on water boards or catchment agencies being able to respond to access of potable water to communities. So these are some of the things that we'll still have to learn or at least study further, but also engage our counterparts in the local government space.
But again, if I may come in there, David,
some of these issues we can then deal with.
But is that not a challenge to your bulk water clients rather than the community direct? That sounds like a challenge to your bulk water clients, your municipalities and so on.
But you must remember, as it relates to the water ecosystem in the South African context, you cannot have a municipality that exclusively exists to provide water to communities without the role of a water board. Like I'm saying, if we are, for example, are going to, as we are currently doing in the Rustenburg area with the Pilanesberg bulk water phase scheme 2, if we are now going to be implementing a new line into Rustenburg and you've got people who are now in an area which we have previously identified as part of our laying out of the new infrastructure, it means to a certain extent, then you are unable to then put out your bulk line because you still need to dig trenches, you still need to lay the pipe, you need to ensure that people are not close enough to the bulk line, because as it would happen, if there is a leak, because this is high pressured water, it could injure or damage the houses nearby the line. Yeah. So we've seen that in other countries, there's stronger cooperation to the extent that the issue of rural to urban migration is well managed and it does not even impede on the growth of bulk infrastructure as it relates to the response of people having access to potable water, which unfortunately in our case is not what is happening. So these are some of the lessons, like I'm saying, that we've taken from the conference and we will be engaging our stakeholders, particularly as it relates to the issue of planning, so that as and when it happens that we need to expand and grow, some of these low-hanging fruits we have then dealt with and we can then deal with the bigger challenges. For example, the escalating debt book, because as it is well known, we provide an essential service, and as you are correctly saying, our key customers are municipalities. But as I'm talking to you now, our biggest challenge remains collection of revenue from those municipalities that we provide water with.
So what are the key takeaways, David, that you believe can be immediately implemented in our country?
Top of the mind, we need to, and frankly so, deal with the issue of the escalating debt book. We understand that the provision of water is espoused and enshrined in the Constitution, and the Water Services Act is clear on the role and mandate of water boards. But be that as it may, we need to encourage our people down on the value chain to say, if you are a Mothapi Modise residing in Rustenburg, the water that you are drinking may come from rainfall. However, it is not rainfall in its purest form. Magaliesberg Water needs to prepare a budget to buy chemicals to run a system to the extent that the water that you drink is safe for human consumption. It comes at a cost. So our people need to understand that the more you drink this water that you receive from your municipality without necessarily paying, you are inadvertently saying, at some point I am going to then collapse Magaliesberg Water, because Magaliesberg Water as a company or as a state-owned agency does not get funding from the national fiscal. The existence of this organization solely comes from direct water sales. As a result, if we sell water to a specific municipality, as per the contract, our expectation is that for the service that we have provided, which is the clean drinking water, we are going then to recover that money through the tariffs and the normal invoices that we send to municipalities to say, this is the water that we've provided and we need to be paid. So if you then don't pay for this service, you are likely going to have a situation that happened with our sister water board, which is now not in existence, which is CDBM Water. And the minister, even in his budget vote earlier this year, said If you have this continuing pattern of municipalities that are serviced and don't pay water boards, we are likely going to get into a situation where more water boards are now being disestablished because the business is not sustainable to carry itself. So it is very important, and it should not be negotiable, that for a service that has been provided, what is due to the water boards must be paid to ensure that we become sustainable and we respond as the Constitution expects us to ensure that everybody within the Republic of South Africa has universal access to clean drinking water, which is not an issue which we can debate when we are talking about the reliable water supply.
So are your books up to date from the bulk water clients or customers, as you call them?
Now that we are now delving into the issue of the disestablishment, you'd remember that the minister said when we are now expanding the service area of Magaliesberg Water, we've taken over the responsibilities of Sidibeng Water in Dr. Ruth and Ngakamodiri Molema. We have already undertaken a process to engage those two district municipalities to say when Sidibeng Water was disestablished, there was money owed to it. Mm. And as part of the transfer agreement, those liabilities have now been transferred to Magaliesberg Water. And on an ongoing basis, we are engaging Dr. Ruth and Ngakamodiri Molema to make sure that we deal with that historic debt. Over and above that, more recently, we had a meeting with Tabazimbi. We are currently working on a debt management plan that will see them paying the historic debt while servicing their current account. And like I'm saying, if we are then not going to pay attention to this key issues which talk to the institution's financial viability or sustainability, we are likely going to end up in a situation where the business is not able to make sufficient money to take care of itself, to invest in infrastructure development and maintenance to the extent that we can respond adequately to the issue of water supply. And if we then don't deal with this, we are likely going to have a situation where the minister will say, like Sidibeng Water, Magaliesberg Water may have to go under because the business has a lot of debt, is unable to carry itself forward, but it has been designed to provide for an essential service. As such, somebody must take over that responsibility while trying to make sense of how then this thing cannot repeat itself again. As okay. was the case with Sidibeng Water.
Thank you so much, David. We appreciate your time on UFM. David Magae is speaking for Magaliesberg Water.
The UFM News Hour with Motlhapi Modise.